Greetings and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. Tonight's guest is Peggy Black. Peggy is a sacred sound salutarist, salutarist, spiritual synergist, multidimensional channel, transducer, scribe, world traveler, lecturer, and keynote presenter with over 35 years experience in the healing field. She is perhaps best known for her morning messages, a set of 88 free messages with over 5,000 global subscribers, myself included. Let's find out what her message is tonight by welcoming her to the show. Hi, Peggy. How are you?
Hi, Lance. I want to acknowledge you for your pronunciation of most of those words.
Thank you. Those are tongue twisters.
I
feel like I've kind of scrambled up that, but I think that the essence and the energy of the message came through.
I think you did fine. Better than most.
Thanks. I've really been enjoying your morning messages. They're really very profound and moving and inspirational. And so for the listeners, I know you probably said this before. You probably mentioned, you know, the story about how they started and all that. But let's just find out what they are and how did they come about.
Well, thank you. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak about it once again. I think it's something that the listeners are perhaps in their own life becoming aware that I think our ultimate goal in this evolution that's taking place mm-hmm. is that we learn to and welcome and allow an interface with the non-physical reality, with
mm-hmm.
the other dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
And so in saying that, you know, I really do invite all of those that are in your audience and that will be listening to this, is to look in their own lives and see how this can be encouraged.
Mm.
I would like to say, I think all of us are very sensitive individuals. And unfortunately, as children, most of us have had that particular sensitivity shut down, or
mm-hmm.
we've shut it down because being too sensitive, it was just challenging to be in the world to be able to feel everybody's emotions.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so we're at this place now where I think that we're beginning to be a little bit more comfortable with that and learn how to manage that energy a little better.
Mm-hmm.
So having said that, I was always a very intuitive child.
Mm-hmm.
Clairvoyant, clairsentient, clairaudient, and I can say that as an adult now, but as a child, I had no idea
mm-hmm.
why I could see things other people didn't see, why I felt feelings that I felt or
mm-hmm.
knew things. So that was a part of my childhood,
mm-hmm.
and I remember asking my mother, what do I do when someone calls my name in my head?
Mm.
And she says, answer them. Isn't that beautiful?
That is. I love it.
And so she was also sensitive. However, when she had a sense or an image or one of those clairvoyant experiences, generally it brought bad news.
Oh, yeah.
So that wasn't something that she was comfortable with.
Yeah.
So it was years. I was in my 30s before someone, you know, said to me, do you realize you're a sensitive? And, you know, so I'm just saying there's so much aspect of society that has been in the past that people were shut down. It wasn't a common word. There weren't shows like yours.
Yeah.
The website wasn't available in which people were sharing their personal phenomenal experiences.
Yep.
So As I began to mature and read and recognize and study, I became aware that when I did body work or massage, I was getting guidance. I was seeing where there was energy stuck in their body.
Mm.
I was seeing past experiences that they had stored somewhere in their tissue.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I remember telling certain people as I was giving them a massage, at which point it kind of frightened them. And I realized that I needed to kind of go inside and ask, is this appropriate for me to share?
Right.
So that was kind of how it began to emerge. And it was probably in the early 90s that that the sounds came. So I feel like my team, what I call my team, emerged in a series and came to me in a series of easeful steps, as it were.
Huh.
In the 70s, I began to doodle and sketch as a more balanced exercise. I was teaching women body movement, and I realized that most people didn't use one side of their body particularly well.
Mm-hmm.
So as an exercise, I invited everyone to begin to use the less dominant hand.
Oh.
And for myself, I began to sketch. And I would only allow myself to sketch with my left hand. And so I sketched doodles after doodles after doodles. I filled notebooks filled. Those are all the line drawings now that illustrate the morning messages.
They are beautiful. They are so delightful and light and fanciful. They are really, really beautiful.
Well, thank you so much. They've had a renewing because after I finished them in the 70s, they got packed in a box and I moved and they got stored. So that was one way the team came through energetically.
Okay.
And then the second phase of my experience was doing body work. And then in the early 90s, I went through a particularly painful divorce. I'm sure some of the people listening can identify with that.
Mm-hmm.
And in the process of going through this, all these emotions were coming up. And for the guidance that was coming in, for inspiration or being inspired of how to handle this in a positive way,
mm-hmm.
I would take my grief, so to speak, into the altar, and I would say to the divine, here's my grief, transform it.
Mm.
And I would literally grieve and cry and wail.
Mm-hmm.
But I did it in a very sacred way. I was giving those emotions for transformation.
Mm.
And then there were times I stepped in. My altar happens to be in my closet.
Oh.
So it's a, you know, it's a private place and I can go and shut the door.
Oh, yeah.
Light a candle. Anyway, there were times that I would be just filled with anger and rage.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go in and just literally scream.
Mm-hmm.
This was a process that went on for several months. And I remember my mother saying, you're grieving more over this relationship than I've ever known you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, you know, Mother, this is all the grief I've never allowed myself to feel.
Oh, of course.
So I was just clearing out. So I really invite everyone that's listening tonight to look and see what emotions might be lingering in their body, clogging up, as it were, some of their system.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
I do a lot of sound work and sound healing. But that was my beginning. And so after I did that for about 10 months, Lance,
mm-hmm.
I was giving my mother a massage. And after I said my prayer and I took a deep breath, these enormously huge sounds came forth, literally scared both my mother and myself.
She heard them too.
Oh, they were huge.
Wow.
So I asked her, I said, my gosh, can I try that again? And she says, well, make sure you close all the doors and windows.
Wow.
So I worked another 10 or 15 minutes making these very odd, unusual, very large sounds.
Uh-huh.
When I finished, she sets up on the table, and she was in her late 70s.
Uh-huh.
And she said, I have no idea what you've done. And it might be the weirdest thing you've ever done. But she says, I do not hurt anywhere.
Wow.
So I thought this was my mission.
Uh-huh.
And for the next 15 years, I did sound work. I did private sessions. I taught classes. I even co-founded and produced the International Sound Symposium.
Oh, my.
So I was very active in the field of vibration, frequency, releasing emotions through your own voice.
Uh-huh.
And I was satisfied. I thought I traveled on, so to speak, the sound wave. My trips were paid to go to Egypt and
wow.
make sounds in the temples and pyramid.
Oh my!
My trip was paid to go to Ireland to some of the sacred sites. Uh-huh. And there's phenomenal stories to just share about that.
Oh well, feel free at any moment to shift into one of them.
that was another part of it, and then Lance, about 3 years ago. Several different very sensitive people said to me, do you know, oh, and back to sounds again. When I was doing sound work
mm-hmm.
and beginning to do that, I was literally hearing instructions in my head.
Like we are talking to each other now.
It feels like that, but it isn't like that. And
yeah.
if anybody's ever heard it.
Oh, I know. I do.
It's different, but yet you know it's not your voice.
It's not words, but.
Yeah, it's not words.
Yeah. It gets translated into...
into a language.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I literally was taught how to remember, reminded, and reminded again, how to do a sound session.
Huh.
How to use sound for healing. And when I went to the Dendara Temple in Egypt, I connected with my team, the beloved Hathors.
Oh.
And so I have done and have used sound in many lifetimes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that felt like the most natural thing. And you know how we're always, you hear people saying, I want to find out what my mission is. What am I here to do?
Yep.
I thought this was my mission. So 3 years ago, I had a couple friends say, I think that your team really wants you to do something different. And I went, like what? You know, what?
Mm-hmm.
And so finally what I ended up doing is I sat down and I basically kind of wrote a contract. And I said things like, I'm really grateful that our partnership is enhancing to my life and of service to the world. I'm grateful that the way in which we connect and communicate is clear and easeful. And, you know, I did 2 pages of coming from that space.
Mm-hmm.
And then I read that. I walked my labyrinth and I read that. And I sat down and I wrote contact. Just like that, you know, like you see in the movies.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately the image or the words that came to mind is, we are here.
Mm.
And from there, Lance, I wrote a page. And it's on my website, What Happened, that first transmission.
Uh-huh.
And so for the next period of time, I got up every morning at about 5:30 and watched the sunrise. So that's why they're called morning messages.
Oh.
I watched the sunrise, and I would journal. And then one day it was cloudy, foggy, there was no sunrise. And I had been writing them and transcribing them into the computer.
Uh-huh.
So what I ended up doing is going directly to my computer on that foggy morning. And they were really, these beautiful beings that want to interface with us have such a loving energy and such a sense of humor.
Yes.
And so I sat down and I said, you know, here I am at my computer, contact, I don't know if this is going to work this way. And they said, it's more an issue with you than it is with us.
Mm.
And I says, well, it's not as pretty a view from here as it is from downstairs watching the sunrise.
Yeah.
And they says, well, we invite you to create the view to be as beautiful for yourself at your desk as it is downstairs.
Wow.
And so then I just began to just transcribe their messages into the computer.
Mm.
And I did that for, I've got over 200 messages that are 2 to 3 pages long.
Wow.
And I was very content with this. I didn't tell very many people I was doing it.
Uh-huh.
I shared it with a few key friends. And one day I ordered a book, and it had been an online offer, and I had, instead of ordering it on the computer, I had called the number.
Uh-huh.
And I'm talking to this individual, and I said, how did you get involved with this project? And this man says, well, we actually sponsored her and her presence on the Internet. I said, really? Well, I hear my team say to me, tell them about the messages.
Mm.
So I said, You know, I've been doing these transmissions and these morning messages for about 10 months now. And he says, well, send me a few of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I did. And a few weeks later, I get this email with his phone number. He says, please give me a call. So I did. And he said, my company wants to partnership with you.
Wow.
And so he said, and for us to do this service for you, set up your website, your flash movie, you know, all of the, a CD, a book, a deck of cards, all of these things, it's $10,000.
Ooh.
And I thought, whoa. You know, so I said, let me think about it.
Right, right.
So I didn't sleep much that night. I was really engaged and in my head, not necessarily getting good, not allowing good counsel from my team. I was really in my head. And the next morning I get up and I called a friend and I said, this is what's been offered. And she said, this is such a brilliant thing. I love these messages. I think they need to be out for more people to be aware of them.
Uh-huh.
When we hang up the phone, I'm putting a check in the mail for $2,000.
Wow.
And so I called two other friends that day, and each one said, well, I'm in the project for $1,000.
My goodness.
So I called the man back, and I said, I want a partnership with you. In 24 hours, I've raised $4,000.
Wow.
And in another probably 10 days, another friend stepped forward and said, I would like to offer you the remaining amount that you
My
need.
My goodness.
So when that happens like that, Lance,
yes.
We all know
yeah.
There's a divine flow
yeah.
supporting it.
That's right. That's right. Wow, that's an amazing story.
So I'm really aware, and I want everyone to be aware, that the teams that are waiting, the celestial beings that want to work with us in this level, partnership with us, work at that level.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's us as limited humans or our mental attitude of
mm-hmm.
being limited. There's no limitations when you're in partnership with the celestial realms.
Mm-hmm. Well, how do people begin to unlock or unravel that mystery? Because a lot of people seem to be drifting or feeling like they're on hold these days. And you know, there's a legitimate time when we are meant to be on hold, but how do they recognize that synchronicity and going with the flow?
Let me read something that the team, this is so beautiful, I had it out in case there was an opportunity to read it.
Oh, good.
And then we can talk about it, but this is a message from them. It says, we are here, we are available simply by request. We stream to all those who invite our presence. We meet and connect in the coherent energy field of the purest, highest frequencies and the vibrations of joy, gratitude, and appreciation. We offer our gratitude and love to you and all those who hear or feel the call. May these messages touch the hearts and minds of those ready and willing to know who they truly are, magnificent, multidimensional star humans. It is through loving, awake hearts that transformation is made possible. Each individual offers the message of love, compassion, and understanding in a unique and fresh way. Some express this awareness of their expanded, multidimensional selfhood through their service work, their spoken or written word, their art or touch, and especially through their heart focus and dedication. Each offering infused with pure, coherent emotions of joy, gratitude, and appreciation has value and adds to the global collective. We are all one. And when I do private transmissions and private channelings,
mm-hmm.
I recognize right now what I am is I'm the liaison or the matchmaker
mm-hmm.
for individuals and their team.
Mm-hmm.
But the main thing that people need to realize is they need to ask for support on a regular basis. I talk to my team 24/7. I include them in every activity of the day.
Mm-hmm.
just before the phone rang, I says, okay, is everybody here? You see?
Yeah.
I invite them to my desk when I do desk work. I wake up in the morning and I include them by greeting them just like you would your best friend.
Mm-hmm.
When I watch a sunrise in the morning, I will say, can you possibly see this beautiful sunrise through my eyes? Because we live in what's called a free will zone. Mm-hmm. This planet is a free will planet. So these celestial beings wait for our invitation to come.
Mm.
So it's very important for us to remember to continue to invite them.
Mm-hmm.
And when we invite them, know that they're there and trust that we're inviting them. They're going to be present. So now you have to be mindful of how they show up for you.
Mm-hmm.
We're all so unique.
Mm-hmm.
So some people feel it as in their body.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that rush or those goosebumps we get when we feel something or hear something and it's a truth.
Mm, yeah, absolutely.
So some people feel their team or this energy in their body. Other people see images. Other people hear things. So everybody has a different way that they'll interface with the celestial realms.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a part of the discovery, as it was. That's a part of the unfolding, is to know that it's your right. See, I believe that we were all meant to be able to connect with the other dimensions.
Mm, mm-hmm.
And what's happened in our society for eons is that facility and that ability has been repressed,
yeah,
shut off.
Yeah.
And you had to be a priest or someone of high stature, an oracle that was honored, and everybody went to that one individual being.
Mm-hmm.
And they were the ones that interfaced with the celestial realm. But the fact of the matter is everybody has the right to relate and be in contact and partnership with that, with the other dimensions, with the celestial realms.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether you want to call them galactic beings, you want to call them angels or fairies, I don't think the names are as important as the energy they bring.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're evolving into, Lance, is what I'm sensing that we're evolving as a humanity, is we're waking up to this ability and our right to connect with a bigger reality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we have, I believe, so many people that are channeling, so many people that are getting this awesome information.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're in a realm right now where the veils are thinning. We're in a realm of our evolution where people are remembering.
Mm-hmm.
They're remembering that we can do this. It's an easy thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Where do you think that this is heading? Because a lot of people seem to believe that we're in an extremely fortuitous time that is going to be leading up to some kind of major shift around 2011 or 2012. Does your team talk about that much at all?
Basically, what my team continues to express is there are going to be great changes. We're seeing them. We're witnessing them.
Mm-hmm.
And you always have two choices when any change comes, whether it's a change of plans or it's a change in a career or it's a change in a relationship. You always have a choice of how to respond.
Mm-hmm.
Do you respond out of your fear and your anger and your worry and stress, or do you respond out of looking at it from a perspective of, what can I be grateful about this change?
Mm.
How does this change serve my higher self?
Mm-hmm.
How can I ride this wave of change in the highest mindfulness possible? And I think that the more that the individuals, and I'm not saying that some of that is difficult to do. if you've lost your job, if you've lost a loved one, if you've experienced some of the natural disasters that we're seeing on the screen of reality, those are all very heart-wrenching kind of changes. However, those of us observing those changes on our news, we have the ability to interface with the energetic matrix, the mass conscious matrix, from a place of blessing those people in that situation, and being and holding a frequency in our own space of gratitude, appreciation, compassion, rather than holding a place of fear, of scarcity, of all the things that are out there. So we have to look and see which gets triggered when we watch about some natural disaster. That's where a conscious, awake, multidimensional being steps in. And they look and they go, I send my personal energy to support and uplift all of those involved in that tragedy. And so that's what I do. In fact, the team has often told me, you can make more difference reading the newspaper by blessing everything in there that you see that's dysfunctional.
That makes sense.
Rather than going, oh my God, it's going to cost us more money now. You know, get into that mindset.
Right, right.
Because that's the mindset that feeds it to continue.
I agree with that one.
And our we have this dynamics going on in this environment of polarities.
Yeah.
Where right now the negative energy field influences more so maybe than the positive.
It would seem that way, yes.
And so the goal of everyone that's awake and recognizes this is to recognize you interface with this consciousness matrix at all times. So how do you want to interface with it? Do you want to interface it from an automatic response kind of thing? Do you want to interface with it from adding your own fear or your own judgments or your own anger and rage about something? Or do you want to be a transforming agent? And that's, I think, the choice that we're all making at this time. My team will frequently tell me, this is a very interesting thing to share, I travel a lot. And so sometimes I'm sitting in an airport, engrossed in something I'm reading, and I'll get this kind of energetic tap on the shoulder. And my team will say, do you realize you can make a difference in this matrix at this airport? And so I'll go, oh, right. So I put my book down, I close my eyes. Nobody pays any attention. I go to my heart, because that's our portal, that's our chalice of change and transformation, is this heart intelligence. So you go to your heart, you begin to feel gratitude, appreciation, all of the qualities that are coherent emotions, and you begin to send them into the field. Now, that I don't have to see or know anyone there, but I've added a coherent frequency to that matrix that's at the airport.
And that raises the vibration, basically.
It raises it. There was a point in time when my team said, one time after they asked me to do that, they said, observe what happens with the energy that you send out. Because when I open my heart, I invite my team. They can come through the portal of my heart energetically and radiate this unconditional love into the field.
Absolutely.
So they did this, and I observed. They showed me clairvoyantly, and this energy wafted or went past a woman traveling with several small children. And it was like I watched her take a sigh. I watched the children calm down, and then it went on, and there was a gentleman that I got the sense that he was grieving. It felt like intuitively he was going home to a funeral. A loved one had passed. So as the energy, this unconditional love from the team's energy past him, he also lowered his shoulders. He also felt some comfort. So we interface with everyone all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But to do it consciously, to do it in partnership with the divine source and the love of the celestial realms, that's what we're here to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's my sense of it.
Yeah, that certainly makes sense to me.
And yes, we are going through an evolution. This planet is shifting out of an area of incredible dysfunction.
What do you think brings about that dysfunction? It seems a lot of people want to blame the dark forces and.
I think the dark forces. Here's a part of my personal. And I can only claim it as my personal experience.
Mm.
Is I feel, first of all, that the team that I work with, being celestial beings, are my friends. I'm a celestial being.
Mm-hmm.
I just happen to be in a body that weighs about 140 and is 5'6". You know, I have gray hair. I'm 66 years old. But the fact is, that's my physical body. But who I am is really quite large. So I just made an agreement. I'm going to come down here in physical form, and I'm going to take on what I call an aspect of humanity's shadow. I'm going to own my pain, my embarrassment, the anguish that I feel as human, the disappointments, the tragedies, all of that. I'm going to own it because I feel it. And then it's my right to transform it. So as a free will, the celestial realms can't come in and just transform this stuff. It has to be transformed through individual heart consciousness. So I transform an aspect of the collective shadow, the collective darkness. And each one of us carries a certain amount of that shadow. And at that, and we have a right to transform it. It's ours. We've experienced it.
Right.
And so as we begin to, each one begins to recognize, I'm going to transform my hatred. I'm going to transform my prejudice. I'm going to forgive those that have harmed me in word, deed, or action. And as I do that, and I heal whatever horrendously horrible thing I've personally experienced, as I'm uplifted and healed, all are uplifted and healed.
Mm.
I add to the collective healing by healing the shadow that's within me.
Wow, it's beautiful.
And I think that's what's happening. I think more and more people are becoming homo luminous, light beings.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we become light beings is, first of all, we clear up what's dark within our own psyche.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And we all have it.
Oh, no kidding.
And some of it is programming from our families. And some of it's programming from our society.
Yep.
And so then of course the media, the movies, they want to keep everybody in this adrenaline rush of fear.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
And people rush out to some of these I just refuse to see some of them.
Yeah.
The movies that they're producing and that are so realistic that, my gosh, you leave the movie theater and your whole body is just on alert.
Yes, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
And so as you become more and more awake, aware, luminous, you have to be mindful of being sensitive to some of this input.
Mm-hmm. And I would think that what would go along with that is mindful of our own thoughts and feelings as well, because as your team points out, all of that affects the whole.
Absolutely. We're so interconnected. We're so one. There's such a oneness level of who we are that, you know, we've touched on this with some of the books and how many, you know, each one of the individuals that are listening this evening have read books and heard presentations and have heard CDs, and it's been said over and over and over and over again. We're all one.
Mm-hmm.
We're all one. Now, that's really a hard concept for me to recognize sometimes because I feel pretty individual.
Yeah.
But in the energy field of who we are all one. And in the bigger reality, we are all one.
Mm-hmm.
We're here in this game. The team calls it a hologame. We're here transforming energy. We're transformers. That's what we're for.
Mm-hmm.
We might call ourselves a truck driver. We might call ourselves a housewife or a businesswoman or a mother or an artist, a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of those are other labels. But underneath all of that, our ultimate title here is we are energy transformers.
Yeah.
So how do you transform energy?
I guess experience it and run it through your own self,
and give it the heart.
Right,
the heart
right.
is the key.
Right.
And we're learning through the beautiful information from the Boulder the heart math, the work that and the research done through heart math. Heart math is a company here in California, Boulder Creek. It's about 20 miles from me.
Uh-huh.
And they've been studying and approaching the intelligence and the energy field that the heart radiates.
Oh, yes.
And the heart radiates a far bigger energy field than the brain. And they have scientific proof of this.
Hmm.
And they take it now to corporations. They're
wow.
working with huge organizations to get the management and the trainers and, you know, the employees to recognize it's the heart that really is the intelligence. The mind is just a piece of equipment like in a computer.
Right. That makes complete sense.
And like all computers, I don't know about you, you might be a better techie than me, but you get a computer and it comes with a certain amount of programs.
Yeah.
And you love them, and you learn to work with them. And trust me, you have to be pretty good at this to not get a when you get a computer to understand all that computer can do.
Yes,
it's the same with the human body.
Oh yeah.
It's the same with the human heart.
Yeah. Does the Earth have a heart of her own?
I believe so.
Yeah, I think so too.
I believe so, and I believe there's a center in the galaxy that we might want to call the heart of the galaxy.
Oh, yes, yeah.
I think what it is it's just all reflecting back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
The galaxy, ourselves, you know, I think it's Deepak Chopra and some of the other beautiful, enlightened individuals now that are making such stellar presentations and offering such incredible research and work, Greg Braden,
mm-hmm.
and I mean Bruce Lipton, and some of these phenomenal, you know, presenters,
mm-hmm.
they talk about if we could really see our body is mostly space.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just so much that we're awakening to, and yet our mind still goes, well, what do you mean I'm just mostly space. I sure feel solid. And I have a pain in my shoulder. That feels pretty real. I want to go back because you ask about how do people handle some of the changes that are coming on our planet.
Right.
And I think that this is just one of the things that the team shared, because this was a question that was asked in one of my other telecasts. And they said, we want you to be prepared. You know, in other words, there's one thing to be spiritual.
Right.
And there's another to be physically prepared.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as the economic future of your life, be prepared. Look and investigate and use your intellect mm-hmm. and your resource capacity and see how you can, so to speak, be as prepared as possible. And that's like, I live in an earthquake zone. I live in California.
Me too. Right on the fault line.
Where do you live?
I'm in Placerville, California.
Oh, because I'm in Santa Cruz.
Oh, that's a beautiful town.
Well, I'm actually in Felton. See, I'm in the Redwoods just a little bit.
Oh, that is beautiful. Are you nestled in nature?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So, but the fact is, I live in an earthquake zone,
right.
as you do. So I'm prepared. I have extra water. I have food. I have. I make sure my car always has gas.
Right.
That's part of it, is being prepared. But from what I also understand is that there are more people right now, more individuals right now, that are recognizing their divineness.
Mm-hmm.
They're
mm-hmm.
recognizing their power to influence the collective.
Mm-hmm.
And this beautiful opportunity that the internet offers, we have these global prayers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have these moments where people all gather wherever they are in the world and they meditate or they pray or they om, they bless the water.
Mm-hmm.
The more that those collective energies can bathe the planet, I think the fewer disasters our planet's going to have to embrace.
Mm. Well, that would certainly be a positive step.
Exactly. So if everybody recognized their part, and everybody, I think if everybody at one point went to their heart and sent out into the field their joy and gratitude,
mm. mm-hmm.
it would totally shift the planet.
Mm, no doubt about it.
And so that's what's happening. Little by little, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people are doing this kind of work in their community and in their global community.
Mm-hmm.
So I really do think that I believe that, and some other people that channel work have said that our planet was going to have far worse disasters
mm-hmm.
than it has had because we've done some work.
Yeah.
We've alleviated some of the, so to speak, horrible tragedies that were going to unfold.
Right, right. And we can continue to do that.
Absolutely. One of the things they keep urging me to share, so I will share it. One of the things I suggest to individuals is to, when you're in the bank,
mm.
when you're anywhere, but I'll use the bank as an illustration.
Okay.
I'm standing in line waiting to make a deposit or something, and I'll invite my team in and I'll say, clean of the money and the currency in this bank today. Energetically clean it of all the negative, the fears, the scarcity,
oh.
any energy that money's carrying, and bless it so that money or currency goes out and blesses everyone it touches and everything it touches.
Wow.
So in other words, if everybody went to their bank and did that,
uh-huh.
I believe that there would be a different relationship to money.
Yes. Yes.
You see what I mean?
Yes, that's wonderful.
So the team is saying you can be a transformer from wherever you are. In the grocery store, if you walk into the grocery store,
mm.
any market, and bless the food that's there,
mm.
thank everyone that had any part for bringing to you all of those products.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do that.
No, you're right.
We're unconscious.
You're right.
We're on automatic.
Yep.
And so when we get in our own little groove and stay in our own little head about our own worries and issues and what we've got to do next and what we're fixing for dinner, we miss the opportunity to be a divine transformer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what we're being invited to do, wherever we are.
Well, that makes sense to me. And I'm sure you're aware of Dr. Emoto's work with water crystals.
I was on the cruise, Ocean of Gratitude cruise with Dr. Emoto.
Oh.
Two or three years ago.
Oh, wonderful.
I was the ceremonialist for his sacred water ceremony.
Oh, how nice.
I have a fountain in my courtyard, in my garden.
Uh-huh.
And I have collected water from all over the world. So I call it Waters of the World.
Oh, how beautiful.
And he's been making everyone aware of the consciousness of water.
Uh-huh.
So I've collected water from Tibet and the Nile and Peru and Australia and all the sacred wells of England and Ireland and the Ganges. And people have sent me water from other places in the world. And I had the water tested. There's a beautiful Russian scientist that the name is not present for me right now.
Uh-huh.
They had a particular kind of machine that tested the water drops energetically.
Uh-huh.
And I took a little vial of this water. I didn't tell them what it was. But when they downloaded it, you know, they were going to open the vial of the frequency of the water into their program, it shut their computer off. And so finally they shut everything down except that,
uh-huh.
and they opened it. And you know, you see these graphs that flow up and down?
Uh-huh.
That's what the program would look like on the screen. And the waters of the world were up and down very evenly, but very tightly together, just up and down real tight.
Uh-huh.
And what the man said, he says, I don't know what this water is, but it's carrying so much information.
Wow.
And then I told him it was Waters of the World. And I said, every day I add water to it because it evaporates. Once a week we clean the fountain. We always take out a bucket full to infuse and reseed.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, so that means that the waters that you've added has created a matrix that continues to seed and stay in integrity.
Wow.
And so that's what Dr. Emoto's work is about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. When you've been on all these travels, what's one of the most amazing places that you've visited personally?
Personally for me was Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Egypt was personal for me because apparently I've been there many lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
So it was one of those opportunities that I reconnected with a lot of my own knowing.
Mm-hmm.
See, I realize I want everybody to hold the possibility that you already know everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that you do is you read a book or you travel someplace in order to trigger that memory.
Right, right.
And so that's what a lot of sacred sites do, is they evoke or trigger that memory, that code that activates whatever is there for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the temple. I was in the temple of Horus's temple.
Uh-huh.
And, no, I want to share the. I think I want to share the story about Abydos.
Okay.
Abydos was the temple that I don't know. It's been probably half a dozen years ago, in which a lot of tourists were killed. They were murdered.
Oh.
And so our group, the Shamanic Journey, was going to be able to go to Abydos. And we had to have an escort by the military.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they escorted us into the temple. They stayed at all the gates and the doorways for us. And every time we would go, we would create a ceremony. And after the ceremony, I would make the sounds. And so I did that. And when I turned around, Emil, who was our Egyptologist, here's this very large Egyptian officer. And Emil looked at me and he says, I told him that your sounds are like a prayer. And so they spoke Egyptian, and Emil said he would like to take you to another room and have you make sounds.
Mm.
So the whole 30 of us move in tandem to this other room, and I put my hands on either side of this narrow archway into this beautiful, exquisite, long, narrow room with very high ceilings.
Mm.
Acoustically, it was beautiful.
Mm.
And I just said to my team, I said to the Hathors, go for it. And I took a deep breath and let these sounds come out. And when I finished, I turned around, and here's this big, burly soldier with tears running down his face.
Wow.
And Emil looked at me, and he says, he wants you to know that your sounds opened his heart.
Wow. Wow, that's beautiful.
And so Egypt had a lot of that. When I was in the pyramid, and I have to tell you, just being in the pyramid was a bit of a challenge, because any one of us that are claustrophobic, that's going to bring it up full blast.
Uh-huh.
And I wasn't even sure I was going to be able to go in the pyramid, because that was such a big fear.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually even had the courage to go all the way down into the pit. And I did that. I made sounds down there. I went up to the queen's chamber and made sounds. And then I went into the king's chamber with the group. And I had been invited on that group and sponsored to do sacred sounds. And so as each member of our group laid in the sarcophagus, mm-hmm. I made sacred sounds.
Oh.
And when I did, in my mind's eye, the top of the pyramid disappeared, and I was looking at the night sky.
Wow.
And so I would go, oh my gosh, that's how they did it. That's how we did it.
Huh.
But the minute I would do that, I would be back in my physical body inside the pyramid.
Huh.
But there was a lot of those, what I would call, incredible images, visions, experiences all throughout Egypt.
Wow. Do you think that we'll ever unlock the secrets of the pyramids and the Sphinx?
I think that they're gradually being, I think they're gradually being opened and revealed and integrated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's a part of our unfoldment, as well as what's happening on the planet.
Wow. Well, you know, we're almost out of time. We have time for maybe another short story or for something that you'd like to share with the listeners before we have to wrap it up.
Well, I would like to maybe read. I would like to maybe read one of the a simple message. I've just created a morning message invitation deck, and it's going to be 44 exercises in consciousness. So you would pull one of these cards in the morning, and then practice that exercise.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
And here's one of them.
Oh,
it
good.
Says the celestial realms are supporting the transformation of consciousness and awareness of each human. That each human is multidimensional. We invite you to surrender into trust and to consciously ask for any assistance you might need. Allow your consciousness to expand to the possibility that there is a doorway open to other dimensions and that you have a personal invitation to experience these realms. State your intentions clearly and surrender. Be open to receive the gifts and the support. These loving teams of celestial beings are ready to assist and guide you. When vibrating a coherent frequency generated by pure emotions, you're more receptive to our support, to our connection, and to our guidance. Along with maintaining these emotions, it is important to care for your physical body. Remember to drink water, give yourself good nourishment, quiet rest, deep breaths, and time outdoors.
That's beautiful, Peggy. How can people reach your site and sign up for your messages and so on?
Thank you for asking. Lance, they can go to www.morningmessages.com, and that's morningmessages.com. And there's a flash movie that tells a little bit about my story, and then it drops you to a page where you can subscribe.
Wonderful.
And they get, and they can peruse the whole website, and they can subscribe to the 88 messages, and they come about every third or fourth day.
They're perfectly timed, and they're always something that I look forward to reading.
Thank you so much.
Peggy, thank you so much for being on the show and sharing all of this with us. I really appreciate it.
Well, Lance, it's been my pleasure, I assure you, and I would love to at some point in time do it again.
I would love to have you back. Many blessings, Peggy, and good night.
Good night. Thank you so much.
And good night to all the listeners, and thank you for listening.